Thank you, Stephen. Thank you all for that wonderful time of prayer. We were able to spend some time during the day today here as well in prayer with a number who stopped by, and it's just been a real blessing to be able to come before the Lord and to share our needs and our requests with Him. It was back in November of this past year down in Anderson, South Carolina, that two high school basketball teams were having a scrimmage game. Clayton Pendergrass, at that time, was a 6'2" sophomore. He'd been playing in the game, and he came out of the game and went to the trainer, and he said, "I don't feel well." And he went and sat down on the bench and fell backwards and collapsed, cardiac arrest. Thankfully, the trainer was able to begin CPR and then ran and got a defibrillator, and they were able to get his heart started back again. And at last report, he was doing well. And the athletic director said, "We all say God had his hand in them being there," speaking of those who were able to help him. And as the headline said in the newspaper, "Hanna High basketball player revived from cardiac arrest during Monday game." If something or someone is revived, there's the understanding that there was life. That's in the word revive, that vive part, viva, right? If you speak some French or maybe Italian or Spanish or one of those. And then re, again. So there's this idea that there was life, and then as we had with Clayton Pendergrass, that life was removed, or at least almost taken away, and then he received that life back again. He was revived. I want us to just look at one verse in Psalm 119 tonight. Psalm 119, and I'm going to read the little section there. Of course, this is an acrostic psalm with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Beginning each verse in that particular section. We're going to start at verse 33. Luther, is that he? Is that the proper pronunciation of that? Hey? All right, hey. We're going to start, we're going to read, we're going to be looking at verse 37, but just let's just read together, and as you follow along, may the Lord speak to our hearts by His Spirit through the Word. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." As our brother Doug prayed tonight, there are a group of individuals gathered from around North America out in Kansas City for this week. They're meeting at the home assembly of Steve Price, who was with us last week, for the North American Week of Prayer. And that's why we had the chapel open today for ones who would like to come and to pray for revival as well as for other things. As I've been thinking about that idea of revival, I was brought here to verse 37. And the second part of this verse is a prayer from the psalmist to God, and the prayer is this: "Revive me in your way." Revive me in your way. In Psalm 27:11 and Psalm 86:11, in both of those, the psalmist says to the Lord, "Teach me your way. Teach me your way." Psalm 25, in verse 9, we read this statement of fact regarding the Lord. He teaches the humble His way. He teaches the humble His way. We're reminded in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, that our ways are not God's ways, and that His ways are higher than our ways, as the heaven is higher than the earth. And I thought about that. What is God's way? What is His way? And there are a lot of things that we could make application there. God's way. But of all the things that I thought about, one particular thing came to my mind. It was the words of the Lord Jesus in John 14:6. What did He say? I am the way. I am the way. And I thought, you know, everything about God's way, everything about Jehovah's way is all summed up in that one person who said, I am the way, the Lord Jesus. And here we have the psalmist asking God to revive, or in the King James, to quicken, to revive me, to give me life again in your way. And we know God's way as the Lord Jesus. Now we know that we cannot lose that life once we receive that eternal life, that new life, that abundant life. But we surely can lose the joy of our salvation. We can surely lose the reality of the experience of that life. And as those men and women and young people gather out there in Kansas City, they are praying. They are praying for a revival among us as believers because of the way they term it on their website, the apathy and decline that is so evident among us. Now wonder about us in our own lives. Revive me, the psalmist said. The Amplified Version says, restore to me vigorous life and health, a practical experience of that life in the Lord Jesus Christ, a refreshing, a renewal, a restoration of that life that we have in Christ, that we have by Christ, that we have with Christ. We have from Christ. But the first part of this verse, the part that starts with that Hebrew letter, hey, I think gives us a contrast and really gives us a reason why the psalmist recognized that he was not experiencing this revival. There was something standing in the way. And he says here, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. He was looking at worthless things, things that had no value, things of vanity, things that are empty. Empty. They have no real substance, no real value, and I'm talking about value in the eyes of God, from His perspective. They may have great value in this world. They might have great value to us in a temporal sense, but in the eyes of God, these things that the psalmist said are getting in the way of me really experiencing this life that I want and that I should have and that God has provided for me are those things that in God's eyes are of no value. They're empty. Sometimes this word here in the Hebrew for worthless is translated deceitful. Or lying, and how true it is. These are things that say they have great value in them. But in God's eyes, they do not have great value. They are empty. And the psalmist said, you know what? I'm distracted by these things. Things that really have no true value. Well, as you think about that tonight, I just want to open it up for just a moment, and I want to get some input. I wonder what some of those worthless things could be that may attract you, that may attract me, that may attract others, that may distract us off of what really matters, what's really valuable. Things that, even though they may not be bad in themselves, yet they are getting in the way. And when it comes to really experiencing revival, when it comes to really experiencing that life in the Lord Jesus, these things are getting in the way because I have my focus on them. And my focus being on these worthless things is hindering me from really experiencing the revival that God wants me to have and that the psalmist longed for in his life. He prayed to God that God would turn away his eyes from looking at these worthless things and would revive him in His way. So, can I get some feedback? Can you think of something? Yes, Scott? Okay, overly focused on your career. That career that's so important. You need it, in a sense, to provide for your family. But in the eyes of God, if it's getting in the way of revival, it's worthless. It's not going to be here long. John? No. No, huh? Amen. Television. Television. Amen. All right. Yes, that can be a distraction, and literally looking at that can get in the way. Joe? Sports and politics. Yes, right. That's true. Oh, yeah. That becomes the focus. Okay. All right. That can be a worthless thing, something that's so valuable, so important to us possibly, and as he said, in moderation, probably an okay thing, but if it becomes our focus, God says that's worthless. If it's getting in the way of, a cell phone and everything that comes along with that, right? Not just the phone, not just to call Tico and say, Tico, could you pick up a gallon of milk? Oh, you already got it. You are such a great husband. If we only used it for that, but no, we got to get on there and scroll through, right? And we got to spend, very good. It could be a worthless thing, taking away from what's most valuable to us as we look at that worthless thing rather than having that life in Christ experienced. Can you think of anything else? Any other things come to your mind, Isaac? Very good. Managing other people's perceptions of us, focusing so much on what they think about us and trying to live in such a way to get their approval, possibly. Yes, that can become a worthless thing, getting in the way of our true revival with Christ. Dave? Good. Very good. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Neil?
If we just take all of these items that have been mentioned and we take it up one level and just say self.
Amen. Our eyes on ourselves, focusing on self. Isn't that interesting that in that sense we're worthless? The self is worthless, valuable to God when it's focused on Him and it's doing what it's designed to do, glorify Him. Anyone else? A lot of worthless things. Well, you know, again, I see here that, and thank y'all so much for that input, and I know there are other great thoughts out there as well. He prays, it's interesting to me, he prays that God would turn away his eyes. You know, I thought about that. I thought, well, what about my part? You know, am I not responsible? All right, God, if you don't want me to look at this, just turn my eyes away. Maybe I shouldn't use that. That's not a good example. If you want to turn my eyes away, Lord, just go ahead and do it. You know, and obviously in my own strength for true victory, I'm not going to be able to really turn my eyes away. I need God. I need to pray, God, turn my eyes away. But I do have a responsibility. It was interesting, I was reading a quote by A.W. Tozer, and he's talking here about revival and why we have so much prayer about revival, but we don't have revival. Now, this might be counterproductive, you might think, to the point I'm trying to make tonight, but listen to this. I believe the problem is that we have been trying to substitute praying for obeying, and it simply will not work. Now, A.W. Tozer, I can assure you, was not saying that we shouldn't pray for revival. What was he saying? We shouldn't just pray and then say, okay, we prayed. Now it's up to God to do it. Sometimes it's a matter of obeying. Sometimes it's a matter of me choosing to take my eyes off of whatever worthless thing has distracted me and has robbed me of the true revival that God wants me to experience in my life. And I need to make that choice, and I need to admit to God, God, I want to turn away my eyes, but I need you. I need you. In faith, I'm going to turn away. In faith, I'm going to turn my eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. And Lord, I want you to make all the things of this world to grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I want to choose that, Lord. Stan McKay has often quoted his dad in regarding to the work of the Lord, and he says something like this. I hope I can get it correct. Helen, you may correct me if I'm off somewhat, but he said when it comes to the work of God, we need to pray as if it all depends on God and work as if it all depends on us. Did I get that right or close enough to get the point across? I think that's a beautiful merging of what we have here in this verse as the psalmist asks God to turn his eyes away. He's praying as if it all depends on God, and then he's going to turn his eyes away as if it all depends on him, knowing that he is doing it not in his own strength, but as a result of his praying. And we've got just a couple minutes left, and I just want to stop right now and just have a couple of minutes where several brothers maybe can pray and just bring us before the Lord with a similar prayer, asking God to help us to truly experience revival as we get those things that are worthless and get them out of our lives as best we can. And when we can't get rid of them, at least have them under control by the power of the Spirit. So maybe a couple of brothers can pray and I'll close us. Oh Lord, revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each of our souls be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Lord, we just commit ourselves to You now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.